You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
I just did a Spanish lesson with Koa. We had a tutor from Argentina chatting with us.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so, you know, Koa's been getting a little, like, nervous. Who can blame him? When he's doing Spanish in school. I think it's because it's just full immersion. So it's the idea is, unlike his other classes where they sit and teach, the Spanish immersion is not about... sitting and, like, teaching the kids Spanish the way you would in a Spanish lesson. It's just speaking Spanish and doing regular lessons in Spanish. And the thought is, by osmosis, they'll get there. But and as a result, there's lots of things he takes for granted that he knows really well, counting and things like that. And but there's a, you know, his comprehension's pretty high. Like, he can, he's like me. He can, like, guess what's being said.
Right.
But I think that when they... put pen to paper in front of him and he has to do homework in Spanish or do a test in Spanish, it can be really nerve-wracking. So I talked to some of the other parents, and there's this cool thing called Italki. It's like you can go on and pick a language and you get paired up with somebody. You can, like, look at what they're, you know, if they're good with kids, like what they're, what they said their expertise is. You say where you're at. And you take these 30-minute lessons, and they're super inexpensive. Like, our trial lesson.
You're speaking with, like, a fluent – you're speaking with someone from
Argentina.
Yeah,
I think the woman was
fluently.
From Argentina today.
That's so cool.
Our trial lesson was $6. So – and
that's,
I think,
amazing.
It's, like, not that much more than that when you start. Like, maybe double that, but nothing crazy for 30 minutes. So it's – I was, like – you know, it was great to get to watch him since I'm absent from that part of his life. And it's like, I need to take some accountability too, as far as if he's not feeling great about it, it's probably because we're not practicing enough at home. So I've got to, you know, carve some time into the old schedule to
habla
this
was
español.
An early lesson for you, hablar español.
Yeah, but they're home, you know, it's like they're home. So it's like a good day to do it because Rosh Hashanah.
They're home?
Yeah, they're home yesterday and today.
La Shana Tova, right?
Yeah,
is that the deal? Is
that's
that
right.
Is that what I say?
Yes. That's correct. It's New
yes.
Year.
Yes.
Yes.
What did you do last weekend?
What did I do last weekend? I went dancing. What did I do?
Oh yeah, you went to the early dance party. How was it?
The matinee social club. It was very fun. It was we went to meet the Johnsons. I don't think I had been there. The last time I was there, I used a fake ID. That's how long it had been since I went to meet the Johnsons. And
wait, what is Meet the Johnsons?
You haven't been? It's on the Lower East Side. It's disgusting. The idea is very cute.
It's vile.
It's a vibe of, like, you're in your friend's parents' basement. Like, the furniture, there's, like, 70s furniture
cute.
In plastic.
Oh, fun.
There's a pool table. It's got wood paneling. So that's the vibe. But it's very
and you
dirty
haven't been
bar.
Since you used a fake ID?
That's right. And so it was very funny to go as an adult and do some tequila shots and then go dancing with these moms because the dads had taken all the kids camping for the night. So we had a blast. We had a good time dancing. The music was all 80s and 90s, and it was almost all, I want to say, like, it was, if I had to, like, try to guess. I bet in the space it was 95% women. So I loved that.
We love.
Loved that. At a certain point, your ticket to go to this amazing place that, it, you know, they move it all around, but this was Mr. Purple. This is in the Lower East Side, and then there's a rooftop, and it's quite high, so you have big views of the city. And it was very cool. They get pizzas at some point, and the pizzas just keep coming. They never run out. So what? You're just, like, dancing, doing shots here and there, and having pizza to make sure you don't get a hangover.
This sounds incredible. This sounds
pretty luxe.
Did you have any notes?
I love that. I wouldn't go. Here's my note. I don't know how fast I'd go back if it was in that space every time. I like the idea that it changes spaces. And mm-hmm. my only notes was that it was pretty packed at certain points in the dancing area. Like, you had to have pretty contained dancing.
Just have, because we like to explore the space. We like to find the negative space.
There was no big moves that could be done. It was very tight. But it was also fun in that regard, where it felt very party, like everyone's just sweating in a tight space.
Sweating together. Yeah.
But, and what was great about that was that the venue had a rooftop bar that was not part of the event, which is to say, we had access and could go up, but it wasn't playing the same music. It was like club music upstairs. So you'd be like dancing to the greatest hits, which was fun. And then you'd go upstairs and like it'd be like, N-ts, and you were like, this is a little silly. But it is an expansive rooftop, and I'm catching a breeze when I was like very sweaty. And so we danced a little up there to the club music, which no one was dancing upstairs. It was more like a
club music. I just went to a club music thing, and it's a lot of step touch. It's just like all you can really do is like step touch in it. And I'm like, I need a little bit of
melody.
That's
not my thing. I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum, but I was like, nah, not my thing.
No, it's fun. I mean, I'll step touch my heart away. My life away.
Why
I'll step
not?
Touch my life away.
Oh, God. I have to tell you something so funny that you're going to love.
What?
Griff just started to obsess and learn about first name versus last name because he wanted to learn the Harry Potter's like character names. And he's like super confused about what is their last name, what is their first, how come the teachers are called Snape when their first name's Severus, all these kinds of things. And then he started getting interested in, like, what are people's last names that he knows. And I was going to the bathroom the other day, and he comes in and he goes, Bear? And I go, what? And he goes, Carrie Bear. And I was like, you think Carrie's last name is Bear?
I love him. I love
He's
him
like, yeah,
so much.
Care Bear, right? And I was like, that is a nickname. That is not her last name. It's Ipama. And he was like, Ipama? Oh, I never heard that. Like, okay. And then he like left the room sort of disheartened, where he's like, this is harder than I thought it was going to be.
He's like, I thought I knew her. He's like, she lived here. She's my friend. He's like, I thought I knew
Care Bear.
I thought I knew. Like, that to me actually makes me feel sad, because I feel like he's kind of like, do I know her at all?
Do I even
like she's
know
known me?
Her.
I've known him his whole life, mm-hmm. and he's like, maybe I don't even know her.
Yeah,
Bear. I gotta see. I'm gonna see him today. I love seeing him at the Fish Share. I love seeing them. They make me so happy. Koa comes and is like, gives me a smile, and is like, all right, we gotta go. And Griffin's like, let me tell you about my day.
Yeah, they are just.
I want to hear all about it, Griff Dog. Perfect kids, no notes. This weekend, I went to Philadelphia.
You did.
I drove up there for a friend's show, and I drove with my other friend. We giggled on the way up, and then we stayed at the show, and we drove back at midnight, and it was a 2-hour drive. And when I drive back, I'd love for someone to stay awake with me. Well, my friend, unfortunately, she was asleep the whole time, and it was tough. And I was like, I think what happened was she might have had like a little too much fun, mm-hmm. and then was like crashing. And then here's the thing that happened that I think you all will understand. I was driving, and we were driving towards New York. It's a 2-hour drive. So we were getting home at like 2:00 in the morning. If I were to drop her off at her house, it would have been a 45-minute additional trip for me, right? So during one of the moments she wakes up, I'm like, can I go to my, are you okay with me going to my house, and can you like get a car to your house? And she was like, yeah, I mean, I might have to look and see where I can get out. And I was like, okay. And then she falls back asleep. And then I felt so guilty that I just drove her home, and I added 45 minutes to my trip. I don't know how not to do that.
Well, anyway, I think it's okay to do that too. Like, it's,
it's also like, it's also okay so deep.
You don't have to like defend your own.
No, I know, but I was so tired, Quinn. I got home at 2:30 in the morning after dry. It was too much. And then I woke up the next day and I went to Storm King upstate. I went to visit Storm King. Have you been there?
Yeah, I love Storm King.
Storm King is so great. Have you brought the kids?
No.
They would love.
Matt and I went before we had kids, and we've talked about going back with the kids, which I think they would love. Yeah, we've got quite the fall lineup right now, so we'll see if it happens.
Yeah, you guys are busy. What any fun plans coming up?
Going to Eldred on Friday after school for the weekend.
Oh, amazing. I love that. I love that.
So we're excited about that. We've got a lot of big plans, cooking and going. I might take them rafting. We're definitely going to go to a farm and do like a corn maze and that kind of deal.
Ooh, get some leaf peeping in. Although I will say I went upstate and like a lot of green. A lot of green leaves.
Oh, really? That's funny.
A lot of green. I needed to be a little bit.
Spen sent me something yesterday that indicated I might have some good peepage. So
I mean,
I was like,
I went only up to Storm King. So I feel like there's probably
even
a
week can be different too. It's the
even
fall.
Even a week can be different. That's such a good
point. To apply
the
magic. So I'm really hopeful.
I'm hopeful for you too.
I watched, I watched a scary movie last night. Did I tell you about my scary movie club?
With is it
Braden and Julie?
Mother's Father's Day observed.
Yes, Father's Day observed. Yes, it's called Shutter Up, which is very offensive. But the explanation is that scary movies are on a streaming service called Shudder. And one time when we were talking about getting excited for movie club, Julie said, "Yeah, Shutter Up." We were like, "It sounds mean." Not like what you're saying. And then we laughed really hard. So now the name of the movie club is Shutter Up. And we voted last night after our movie trailers. And Invasion of the Body Snatchers won. And none of us had ever seen it. And it was great. It was really great. What a good movie. What a fun time. Donald Sutherland.
Ooh.
Wait. A very, very young Jeff Goldblum.
Was he hotter than he is now?
How could he be? He was equally hot.
Equally hot. God,
Jeff Goldblum to me is always at his prime.
He's anytime you see Jeff Goldblum, you go, this is the exact age I'm supposed to see you.
Yeah.
And I hope people, you know, how many people can say that? That you're hot at every age? What the fuck is that? What kind of, who did he sell his soul to in order to get that deal?
He does seem to know something we don't. Like, some, he does. I wouldn't be. There is mystery that surrounds him.
But you know what it is? I think that's also what makes him so hot. Is I think he knows who he is. Like, there's a little bit of like he is who he is. There's like not a lot of apologies for
yeah,
who he is.
I get
and
what
I
you
like
mean.
That. I think there's something
very
about that
relaxed
that I'm like, oof.
Thing that's happening there.
But also not like. Like confident but not cocky. I don't know what it is. It's a certain je ne sais quoi. I cannot put a little finger on.
Yeah, he's je ne sais quoi is Jeff Goldblum's middle name.
Yeah, Jeff je ne sais quoi. Jeff, that's such hard a thing to say.
Jeff je ne sais quoi Goldblum.
That's really hard
but
to
it's
say.
True, unfortunately. I don't
but
know why his parents
listen,
did that.
It's such a weird thing to name a person, name a thing. It's such a weird thing. But he did it.
Do you want to hear something that I read the other day that I wrote down to share with you? Because I thought, this
yeah.
is interesting. Speaking of fun facts.
This is interesting.
Movies and scary movies. I read that there is a movie, I think it's directed by Robert Rodriguez. It definitely stars John Malkovich. And they made it in 2015. And the name of the movie is called 100 Years. And this is so interesting. They have a release date for it. The release date is 2115. Taking the name of the movie very, very literally, that they made it.
They made it in 2015, and they're going
to. They made it. They put it in a high tech vault. They sent 1,000 metal tickets to people, and they said, "We want you to pass this down through your family." And then in 100 years, the people with these 1,000 metal tickets will go see this movie, when it is released in 2115, we will be dead. We will not be there at the premiere.
Do you think those we are will people not that are just tell really you a trailer?
It's a really good way to handle that, right? Should we?
I don't want to know what people think of my movie. Let's
no trailer, no now. Synopsis. We know nothing about what this movie is. But do you think you and I should make an episode and then schedule it to release 100 years from now?
I mean, here's the thing.
Is this how we live forever? I think we might have found the fountain of youth.
That's not the Jeff Goldblum Fountain of Youth TM. I have a couple things. One, What a great way to pull a prank on people. What a great way to just do a screensaver.
Maybe they didn't make it
like,
at all.
Like, what do you do? Like, knows? Also, people acted in it. So people have to know what it is, right? So, like, and people worked on it. There were editors, there were filmmakers, there's like studios potentially involved. Like, What is the like cloak
it's
of secrecy?
It's a time capsule,
around?
I guess. I mean, I think it's a time capsule, but that's what you do. You bury them. You don't put them on the shelf and say, open it and look at it whenever you want. You say, we're closing this, we're burying this, and this is when we're looking.
Wait
so
a minute.
This is what the movie
That's
is.
What a time capsule is, Quinn? What?
Carrie, you've got a lot to learn, and I'm here to explain it.
What? That time capsule? Who? I don't know. That's very cool. I understand not wanting to get reviewed by your peers. I also think what an wonderful opportunity to prank people. Like, what if it's just nothing? And, like, these 1,000 tickets will be sold. Also, like, you know it's going to end up in some hoarder thing. Like, I would make a movie on that. I would make a movie on someone finding this ticket, like a Willy Wonka version of this, where, like, it's become the elite people, the elite 1,000 people that had these tickets. They get passed down, and then all of a sudden you have, like, one sort of, like, a hero's journey.
Seems like a lot of pressure. Like, can you imagine being given this ticket?
It's like to procreate, yes, 100%. To be like, I don't know if I want kids. What do? But I have this ticket.
Give it to your neighbor. It's a metal movie ticket. Nobody cares. People are going to totally forget to tell their kids about it. And the movie's going to come out and the seats are going to be empty. I got to tell you.
That's so weird. I recently watched a movie called Downhill Racing. It's a Robert Redford flick, one of his earlier movies. Let me tell you, that Robert Redford, damn.
I know.
Damn. What a dreamboat, that guy.
R.I.P. Such a beauty.
R.I.P. But, like, wow. Whew. Whew. Hottie.
Spicy.
Rare.
Do you want to do a couple stories while we're here?
By the way, you're listening to Truly.
Darkly.
Creepily. I'm Carrie Ipama.
Not me.
I'm sorry. I'm Carrie Bear.
I'm Carrie Bear. really love that. Oh, great news. I just got word. The kids' Halloween costumes are out for delivery. And here we are, 5 weeks before Halloween.
Wait, I have to tell you. So the other night, Jordan came over for dinner and it was so fun. One, I all this booze, so I got to make her, like, we made a Negroni and then wine, and I made her dinner. And you know what I did with the leftover? I made a poke, spicy tuna, and then I had leftover, so I did crispy rice. I told you about that. It was so good. It was so fun.
And the crispy rice turned out nice.
It did. I think I could have made it a little thinner, but it was really fun and crispy, and it was great. So
I've never done that.
I do that in the morning. If I have leftover rice, I'll make a crispy rice and I'll put egg with chili oil on it. And it's like a really nice sort of breakfast situation. So Jordan came over and I made her a friendship bracelet to give to her and to Frida, because obviously Frida and I are buddies. And she showed me this video of Frida dancing to Demon Hunters.
Golden?
Can I show?
What is it? Golden.
I think it's Golden.
Take Down.
It's Golden. It's for sure Golden. And I became, like, obsessed with it in a way. It's so long. It's 3 minutes. But what my favorite thing about it is she's like, I know all the, she keeps going, I know all the moves. I know all the moves. And her body roll, her body roll is this. like it made me laugh so hard. Oh God, I don't know. Did you get it? It's a long one. Let's see how fast the internet is.
All right, let's see. That kid's gonna fall down. I know all the moves. I gotta show this to Koa. He's gonna die.
It's the body roll, and she keeps doing it, and it's her head is just, she's fully giving herself.
She looks like me on. She looks like me on. And Saturday night.
She can't looks like figure she went out. To, I mean,
welcome listen, to the Johnsons.
A body roll is hard, right? She is throwing her head back, her shoulders are following, and then her head, and she keeps doing it.
I know all the moves. What more do I have in this world? I knew every move.
It's that that makes me so happy. Finally just watch K-pop Demon Hunters.
It's so good, right?
It's very fun. Very fun.
Didn't you get goosebumps?
I was working while I was doing it. I did it for the culture. I put it on the background while I was working. I got goosebumps
at the end when they're like, our voice without the lies, this is what it sounds like. And you're like, ooh,
chills. I love this kid. I'm really lucky where I have really cute kids in my life. I feel really, really lucky. There's like, I got friends with cute kids. I got a brother with cute kids. And
wow,
they're all...
another good outfit. Oh, is that her roomie braid?
Yes.
Really good.
Really good. Do you need me to do Koa's braid? Who's Koa going to be?
We have wigs. We all have wigs. Classic. Koa Zoe and Griff's Mira, and they cast me as Rumi. I didn't ask to be Rumi. I wanted to be clear, but I was told I'm being Rumi, and I was like, are you guys sure? Are you sure you want me to be the leading lady? And they were like, yes.
They're like, yes, mom, you have part demon in
looks
you.
Looks like I just looked. Our wigs are arriving by Monday, and I think our outfits, the kids' outfits arrived today.
And so did you get an adult one for you?
An adult outfit?
Yes.
No, I think I can figure something out that feels K-pop. I really can't invest in that right now. Also, I did get a pair of leather, like fake leather leggings, because I needed them to go dancing. And I also am going to wear them for this costume. So it's like, it'll be perfect. The kids' costumes, hopefully, will be perfect. They've been in the mail for weeks because that's how it goes, China.
Wow, this is what it sounds like, you know?
This is what it sounds like.
You know, we don't have any patrons, but that doesn't mean we're going to stop singing. And let that be a lesson to each and every one of you.
You won't, just by not subscribing to Patreon, you're not going to get away from the music. The music is coming for you. Invasion of the music. All right, let's tell stories. Let's tell stories. You're going first?
You are.
Okay, this is...
Wait, hold on. Pause.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
My story I got from Anti-Art, ABC News, and the Tribune. My friend Kate sent me this story. She texted it to me and was like, you have to talk about this on the podcast. And she's right. But also, I was anxious to tell the story because it involves a singer whose name, whose singing name I don't know. And I don't, would, couldn't possibly say it out loud. It's capital D, the number 4, V, D, D Forvid.
Is it David? Is that,
it's
is
David. The four... His name is David Anthony Burke, like his born name. So I'm going to call him David regardless.
Well, David, I think is the four is just like a fun way of putting it. Contextually, it's probably. It's not D4VD. It's D4V1D. It's
so people just call him David? That's silly.
I imagine. It's just like, it's like using a four for a password for A. He just basically did his password protected his name.
Somebody told me a story about somebody once whose name was just an apostrophe. And
that's
when they
not...
were like, how do you pronounce it? She said, comma to the top.
You're not.
It's real.
You're not serious.
People do what they want in this world. David
wow.
is 20.
And they shouldn't. Okay.
David's 20. He's born in Texas.
I'm sorry.
Have you heard
this story?
D4V1D. D4VD. VD is D4. Also funny. D for VD.
D for VD.
He's all
he's
about
a
VD.
He
loves venereal
VD.
Diseases. It's just
he
his
loves
main thing.
VD.
Here's the thing. This is very recent news. You don't know it, right?
No.
Yes. Okay, cool. So 20 years old, this is so interesting. So he really wanted to be a musician and he started making music and building a career at first as a Fortnite montage YouTuber.
Oh.
So when he's doing that, he makes his own music for doing it. And he lets other people use the music that he's making and he doesn't charge them anything. And he's doing everything like out of his bedroom, very DIY, very from the bottom up on his cell phone, making music, distributing it. He makes a song called You and I and it gets a bunch of streams and then basically a music career comes out of this. He signs with a major record company with Interscope Records. He opens up for, oh, this is so embarrassing. What is the band that is capital SZA?
SZA. That's not a SZA? Band that's a singer. She's a really
SZA
amazing.
SZA is cool?
SZA is very cool.
Okay. You open up for.
God, you do.
You say it.
Listen.
SZA? SZA?
It's SZA.
Sound 100?
SZA.
Do I
you sound
100?
A thousand and like you have young children who listen to K-pop
it's giving
Demon
me
Hunters.
Anxiety. Like you, guys, have you heard the band K-pop Demon Hunters?
You know Rumi, you knew Miri.
I know all know. The names. SZA, would probably know a song, would not connect
yeah,
it
you
to
would. You would know
a
song.
Set of three
you
letters.
Know
SZA.
Yeah.
So
you called SZA a band, which I also really liked.
You know the band? SZA.
You know the band?
So just to get it straight, it does make you feel old when you're like reading something and D4VD is opening up for SZA. Like you are like, what is this?
Yeah.
Is Elon yeah. Musk walking around naming everybody?
Whoa, like, don't bring him into this.
I never would. Get out of
you
here,
just
Elon.
Did.
I'm thinking
out,
about
Elon.
Him because his dad just got accused of
I know,
sexually
I just
abusing
read
everyone
read
in the
article?
Family. And you're like, now yes. we know why you're like this, Elon.
I just read that whole article.
Trauma does amazing things to people. So
ooh, the body keeps score.
The body keeps score. So it's kind of crazy that this kid is making music in his room 1 minute and then he's opening up for what you tell me is a very big deal the next. It's a big deal.
I think SZA just did the halftime show at the Super Bowl with Kendrick Lamar.
It's a big
just
deal.
So you're aware.
Carrie,
so
it's a very big deal.
It's a really
so, Care Bear,
big deal.
It's a big deal. So then, to top off another big deal, speaking of his connections with Fortnite, they decide they want to create their first anthem ever made, and they're like, it's you, you're going to be the one to make it, and he makes a song called Loaded and Loaded that comes out in September 2025.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this happens. He's peak fame, and he has... a tour coming up, sold out shows at the Fillmore, and he's headed out to do this show, and news gets out that there was a car, a Tesla, that was brought to an impound, and because somebody found it in the Hollywood Hills and called it in and said, there's this abandoned car. They bring it in to this junkyard, and then the police get called because somebody is like, this car smells like something's going on. This Tesla has never been reported as stolen, but when they open it, there is a bag inside that has the remains of a very badly decomposed body.
Oh, my God.
The car is connected to him, this Tesla. This is David's car. What we know when it gets discovered is that this body is approximately 5 feet tall, has black hair, and is wearing a tube top, leggings, a yellow metal bracelet, and metal earrings. This is all we know.
She's a young woman.
Yes. So we know that it's a young woman. And news gets out that this body has been found in this car that is supposedly David's. Definitely never reported this Tesla stolen. And he's about to go on stage at the Fillmore when this news breaks. What does he do?
He runs.
He goes on stage at the Fillmore and he does a show, which is interesting. And then he continues the tour after going on stage. He goes to Kansas City.
I'm not weird of him going on and doing it because he's like, I have a paycheck. Like, there's a lot of people. Like, there's a little bit like...
I imagine it's like me, famous, finally, been working my whole life. I'm not going to give away my shot. I'm not going to give up.
Where was the rhythm there? I couldn't figure it out. I was trying to find it. I said, where's the beat? Where is it, Quinn? Couldn't find it.
I'm not going to share my shot.
No, I also just imagine it's like this news happens and the tour has been set up. Like when you're on the road, it's a little bit like you're in this mentality of like the show must go on. Sure. What's surprising to me is that he's continuing the tour as if nothing's happening.
He's continuing it. He's not speaking about it. He's throwing laboo-boos to people in the crowd.
Jesus Christ.
And a lot of people are noticing that that's his response and are less forgiving for that being the response. I think social media has some things to say about this person having a dead body found in their car and then jumping on stage and singing.
It's not looking great. It's not looking good.
Yeah. So because of how decomposed the remains are that were found in the car, it does take them a week to identify the remains. And once they do, they realize that it is Celeste Rivas, who turned 15 right around when they found the remains. Oh. Not necessarily was 15. I think she was between maybe 14 and 15 at the time of death. And once they name that we know who this victim is, and she's a very, very young girl, at this point, he does stop performing, especially because more news comes out around it. For instance, she had a tattoo on her finger that says, shh, like hush, you know, like shh, exclamation point. So does he. They have the same tattoo.
And she's 15?
She's 15, yeah. Although I wouldn't imagine she necessarily lived to 15. She is 15 because I think she was meant to be turning 15 right around when they found the body. The level of decomposition would suggest she had not turned 15 when she had died. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So everyone's like, is that your friend? Is that like, but there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that he was dating this girl and that he was dating her from a time of when she was 13 or 14 years old.
Oh, God.
He would have been 18 or 19 at that time. He's now 20. And her mom doesn't know much except, yes, my daughter was dating a guy that was named David. I know that for a fact. And I know that she was dating a guy named David when she went missing and when we reported her missing. They have Discord messages of them talking. There's a rumor that he paid people to not talk about it. That's not, we have no evidence of that. That's a rumor. But she had definitely been missing since 2024. And he had never spoken out about his girlfriend, if that's in fact what she was, having gone missing. On the same day that this all goes down, that they discover the identity of the body, a house that is owned by his manager, like, or at least by paper is owned by his manager, mm-hmm. but is used by him, gets raided. And the police go in and seize a bunch of things, including electronics, and they tow the car for evidence. What's very interesting is that as of right now, while I'm telling you this story, we are not a month away from this having happened. We're weeks away from it having happened. They haven't named David as a person of interest. They have not arrested David. There's a lot of speculation that the reason that they haven't is that they're dealing with all this evidence. Yeah. They're building a case. Yeah. But we don't know. I would say that, generally speaking, all we have are social commentary on it, which is very damning.
What we have is we have a car that was abandoned that belonged to David with the body of a young woman found in it. And we now know that there is a connection between this young woman and David.
We know they
and
have the same tattoos on their fingers. We know that
what's so crazy to me is like
girlfriend. Yeah, go ahead.
What's so crazy to me is that, I mean, we obviously cover true crime. So we have a little bit more of like, you know, a little ear to the ground on when it comes to stuff like this. But mm-hmm. if he did it, it is the worst cover up. Mm-hmm. Because it's a car that can easily be traced to him. That was like, it just doesn't make sense to me that how this wouldn't be found out. Like you have like, it's truly the physical and theoretical fingerprints of him are all over this in a way that is like, how could someone be like, if you're trying to get away with something like this, how could
there's the psychology behind it? I mean,
your fingerprint, like the car, the Tesla,
it's your car.
It's your car. Like there's no
it's like you'd pull it over to the side of the road in Hollywood Hills and it would just disappear. And I guess it almost did in the sense that it got dragged to a junkyard, but then they found this body. It's very brazen if this is the case, but we don't know that he did it. We don't know if he hired someone to do it. We don't know if it was someone he knew that did it. Either way, it feels impossible to say he didn't know it had happened, is how it feels. And Crocs and Hollister drop him right away from their brand. People that have partnered with him on Spotify are
Sorry, you said
removing...
Crocs and Hollister as in like, I thought it was like one word. I was like, wait, what?
Crocs and Hollister is his law firm. Is the law firm representing him?
It did sound like the law firm representing him, like Crocs and Hollister.
Crocs and Hollister.
And then it took me to be like, no, the shoe Crocs.
Right, right, right.
And the early
basically all his brand partnerships are dropping him. All his artistic partnerships are dissociating from him, obviously. And the family says, we haven't known where our daughter is, where our sister is. It was her brother that called the police.
Poor family.
And he reported David when it happened, when she went missing. And they, it didn't end up yielding anything when he did. But she is found dead a year and 5 months after being reported missing. A year and 5 months after.
Wow. And another thing.
And that would put her regardless at like 14, maybe even 13. I don't know.
I don't want to say regardless of if he did it. But this man is a criminal. We're aware of that. Like this man.
It's also just upsetting because when you think about getting evidence, I just gave you the window of when she could have been killed. And it's a year and 5 months from when she was missing till found dead. This is not going to be like a really clean, easy investigation, despite the fact that on the surface we say this is easy. So what's going on publicly, we're all just speculating, but there are a lot of things, photos and videos that are being shared on social media that are pictures of him, alleged pictures of him with her. We don't know. A lot of them that I saw, she's in a mask anyhow.
God, it just gets so much more nefarious when he's hiding her identity in that way.
Then there's stuff with him talking to somebody on Discord, and the person he's talking to is named Celeste on Discord, and they're having conversations, and that's getting circulated. So it's a lot of online, here's him with her, here's him talking to her, like proof. We do know a few things factually. I'm trying to stick to the facts because it doesn't do us any good to speculate necessarily. Right. But I am going to stack these facts, which are musical facts. He has an unreleased love song that includes someone named Celeste in it.
Okay.
The unfinished title has the word Celeste in it. That was unreleased. And...
okay.
We have a TikTok comment that is alleged to be from February of 2024 that he erased, that supposedly, like, screenshots of it and stuff say that it said, waiting for LAPD to get your ass for messing with a 13-year-old girl.
Okay.
We have the video he made to a song, One More Dance. In the video, there is someone dragging a body and putting the body in a car trunk. And David is playing both the killer and the victim in the video. And in April of 2022, which is 2 years before she was reported missing, so she was like 11 at this time, it doesn't seem... she's 11. It feels like it's prior to anything happening. But he wrote a song called Romantic Homicide. And it was because of this, his now connection to this homicide, the song Romantic Homicide, this is just interesting, was the biggest, what do you call it, gain on the global Spotify chart, like the biggest jump in the global Spotify chart this week.
After this case, yeah.
So it moved up 102 spots. So in other words, it's not such a great song that everyone's like, Romantic Homicide, never heard it. It's a banger. It's a vibe of this guy that had a body turn up in his car wrote a song called Romantic Homicide, and the song has very disturbing lyrics, so now we all want to hear it, and it re-entered the top 10 on the U.S. Spotify chart. And it's just people want to hear the song. It's, you know, curiosity. And there is a resurfaced video of an interview of his that happened in March, and people are circulating this online. In the video, he talks about the song Romantic Homicide and how it's about him dealing with an alter ego that he has. He says that he's really into anime and that he was writing his own series about a detective with a murderous alter ego. And so the idea is one part of his personality commits murders, one part of his personality solves them. And he says that he had an evil version of him named Itami, which means pain. And he wears a blindfold when he's that figure, and that he's an agent of chaos. He says it's a little like Fight Club is how he thinks about it, where he's committing murder and solving it, and he doesn't totally know who he is.
Okay.
At one point in the video, he's holding a knife and he's facing a figure, and he says it's the ghost of a person he killed and it's the first victim. It's just, it's...
there's
we don't know.
The easiest explanation would be it's him. Another one is he has a fan who's deranged, who is like...
People also are like, the woman in the video looks like Celeste Rivas. Like, it looks like her. And the date of the release was her birthday. Like, releasing this video.
Ooh.
And I'm just going to read you the lyrics of the song Romantic Homicide. I'm scared. It feels like you don't care. Enlighten me, my dear. Why am I still here? I don't mean to be complacent with the decisions you made, but why? In the back of my mind, you died, and I didn't even cry. No, not a single tear, and I'm sick of waiting patiently for someone that won't even arrive. In the back of my mind, I killed you, and I didn't even regret it. I can't believe I said it, but it's true. I hate you.
I don't like those lyrics. Just as like from an artistic standpoint, I don't like them. I don't like them.
I mean, I haven't also heard, don't like it. I have for not this heard case. The song. I'm not interested in hearing the song. But
no, I don't need to give him like more plays, more money. I'm actually not interested in contributing
but
to that.
This case is, like I said, I think it's where we stand right now. Not named as a person of interest. Not arrested. Not charged. There's a lot online about this right now. And it'll be very interesting to watch this case and see where it goes. And I'm so sorry for the family of Celeste Rivas. It's devastating.
It's also so hard that they were
that
missing.
They
she was
young
missing
girl
for
yeah,
a year
so
and a half.
Long.
Like the long time that
and
people wears our...
And I don't know if it's going to end at... We don't know what's going to happen. But being that brother that called it in day one and said, you got to look at this guy, David. And watching David rise to fame in the meantime must have not been a very pleasurable experience for that family.
Must have been fucking hell.
So my heart just goes out to them, and I really hope that they get justice in whoever took their baby girl away from them.
Me too.
I'll keep you guys posted. I mean, I don't even know who SZA is, so like, let's see what happens. But I'm not up to date on things, so you know what? Let me reverse this. You keep us posted. Is that better? Is that more realistic, right?
Oh, Quinn.
I'm so old. Should I get a cane?
Yes. Let's make it fun. Let's bedazzle it. I got this information from Oxygen, CBS, NBC, ABC. I'm going to take you back to December 1st, 2018. We're in Baltimore, Maryland, and we are in a car. It is 54-year-old Jackie Smith with her husband, Keith Smith, who's 52, and Keith Smith's daughter. So it's Jackie's stepdaughter. They have a belated birthday celebration. I'm not sure which birthday they're celebrating, but they're driving home from dinner, I think. And by the way, Keith's daughter's name is Valeria. So they're in the car and they're in this kind of like isolated place that's like, it's pretty empty, but someone comes up and it's a woman and she has a baby and she's asking for money. And so Jackie rolls down her window and she gives this woman $10. When she gives this woman $10 for her and her child, another man comes up. He reaches into the car. He grabs her necklace. He grabs her wallet. Again, this is with her husband and her stepdaughter in the car.
Mm-hmm.
This man takes a knife and he stabs this woman in the stomach. Keith and Valeria are shocked. Mm-hmm. Keith gets out of the car, starts running after the man. He cannot catch him. He gets back in the car. He calls 911. He's telling them that a panhandler stabbed his wife. He drives her to Johns Hopkins Hospital, but it is too late. It is at the hospital that Jackie Smith is pronounced dead. She suffered from multiple stab wounds to her chest and her abdomen, and immediately the police are called. And the first thing they do is they interview the father and stepdaughter. And so these are the only two eyewitnesses we have. And so Keith Smith is obviously upset. He's distraught. It all happened so fast. Valeria is upset. And it's very quick that the police will recognize that she seems off, like she seems high. And she says, Valeria's like, I'm drunk. And they're like, you seem like there's something more. They're like, we're pretty sure she was under the influence of narcotics. But both Valeria and Keith both describe the assailant as like a female with a long brown coat holding a baby. And then there was a black man that came up who had a goatee, a hoodie, and jeans. And that's who stabbed. So the police immediately go to the crime scene to corner off the area. And immediately they're like, this is a weird place for this to have happened. Because one, there's like a lot of CCTV footage. So they're trying to like get images of the car, of which they cannot find images of the car. But they also notice that this area is typically unpopulated. This is not a very common place for people to be asking for money. So they're like, this is very strange that someone was even asking for money in this area. The news of the murder spread very quickly and the public became incredibly fearful, right? It's like it preyed on their fears of Baltimore, of these areas of people asking for money, that this like random act of violence happened and this family like lost this woman. Mm-hmm. There is a $2,000 reward out for any information about the assailant. They list a description and people are just fucking scared. The fear that this brought to this community is very, very real. The police have no leads. Nobody's calling in saying that they've seen anything. And so they're just trying to cobble together what little information they have to recreate the events of the night. And when they start to interview or they start to have conversations more with Valeria and with Keith, there's something about the family dynamics that don't sit right with them. And mm-hmm. so they start to uncover what happened. So Keith and Jackie have only known each other for 5 years. In fact, they met in 2013. They actually met at a mutual friend's birthday party and they fell in love quick. And then they got married like 9 months later, which when I was reading this, I was like, I mean, they're in their late 40s. Both of them had like previous relationships. Keith has an older daughter, Valeria, from one of his previous relationships. And Jackie has two sons who are both members of the U.S. Coast Guard. So this is like their second shot at love, if you will. Mm-hmm. But it became common knowledge that Valeria, her stepdaughter, was like not happy with how quick the relationship progressed. Mm-hmm. She was like, they're getting married too fast. I don't like it. In fact, there's a story that at the wedding, apparently Valeria got in an argument and then she had to be escorted out of the wedding. According to the detectives, what we know is that Jackie is a successful college-educated woman. She worked as an engineer in her area. And Valeria, I think, had a harder upbringing. She has a history of drug addiction. There is a history of violence there. Apparently, she had previously been accused of a domestic incident with a knife. So we know that there's some violence happening there, potentially. Mm-hmm. We know when Jackie and Keith met one another, Keith sold his house. In the article, it was like, we know Jackie married Keith and she had him sell his house, which I just don't know if anyone can have someone sell their house. I feel like we all make our own decisions. I'm not going to blame Jackie for having Keith sell his house. The two of them got married. Keith moved in with Jackie. And apparently Valeria was living with Keith. So this might have been a reason for the anger because Valeria had to find another place to live. Mm-hmm. And so this forced Valeria out. So once they start building out this case of those family dynamics, the police are kind of like, I don't know. This doesn't seem like there's no CCTV of their car in the area that they said they were attacked.
But there is CCTV in the area.
There is CCTV. They're just like, they were like, there's something is not adding up here. And so now they have like this woman who potentially has a motive. So then they start looking at the cell phone data of where the three of them were at the time of the alleged attack. And they find that both Valeria and Keith had turned their phones off before the attack. And so there's no data to be found, which is actually like weirdly more incriminating. But the last bit of data that they see is that they actually turned to go to Druid Hill Park, which is in the opposite direction of where they claim the stabbing took place. And so they find that the car was parked there near the park. The medical examiner report comes back and they find that obviously Jackie's own DNA is all over her right hand, but they also find an overwhelming amount of Keith's DNA on her left hand, which they are attributing to the possibility of self-defense, that she is trying to stop him uh-huh. from attacking her on uh-huh. her left hand. Then they received a tip a couple months later on December 14th, 2019. The anonymous call tells the police that Jackie was actually considering divorcing Keith. And when they asked Keith's brother, he confirmed this. So we know that their marriage was not a happy one. We also will find out that Keith was seeing another woman. Keith's brother would say that their marriage was not happy. And that maybe the reason the two of them were fighting was because of money. Because in the short 5 years, 4 years that they were married, mm-hmm. they bought multiple cars and they even bought a yacht. And all of this was on Jackie's dime because Keith was not contributing a lot to the marriage. So he's living a nice life. Jackie's bankrolling it. We know he's seeing this other woman. And so maybe he wants to get a divorce, but he's like afraid the cash cow is going to stop. And then we find out, dun, 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 you know what I'm about to say?
What? She's life insurance?
There it is, Quinn. She's got life insurance. And if she's dead, Keith would get $804,000. So now we have a motive. We have like why he would do it. It's not looking good. The forensic evidence is also not looking good. So the theory is that Jackie found out that Keith was going to leave and that it was going to put him in a difficult financial situation. So when word gets out to Valeria and Keith that they are now the target of the investigation, they do what any sane person does. Mm-hmm. They call someone and they're like, hey, how can I get one-way tickets to Cuba or Canada? Or they start to plan a trip to Texas to cross into Mexico. Or they're like Googling, do you need a passport to go to Jamaica? So they've tapped his phone. And so the police are now like seeing his escape route.
That's so embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing, but it's very helpful because they find that they go down to Texas, and when they plan to cross over into Mexico, they are stopped by Homeland Security, and Keith is charged with first-degree murder, and Valeria is charged with conspiracy to commit murder. Mm-hmm. Once they are arrested, Valeria flips on her dad. She's like, all right, I'm out. I'm out. I didn't sign up for this shit. She ends up confessing and testifying against him in court. She says that they were all together for this belated birthday celebration, and her dad takes a detour to the Druid Hill Park, which is what we now know is corroborated with the cell phone data. He slows down the car, and then he starts to stab his wife while she is asleep in the passenger seat. She is asleep. Valeria will say that her dad is then calm afterwards. And then his demeanor changes when he calls 911 and he puts on this farce that his wife has been attacked. He throws the knife out into the woods and he tells Valeria to lie about the panhandler. A day or two later, Valeria will say that Keith went to Jackie's place of work, gets her paperwork to her life insurance policy where he is the sole beneficiary. And that's when the police start to get more information. He gets the insurance payout. That's when they cross into Mexico. Bada bing, bada boom. We all know he fucking did it. And fortunately, a jury also found Kevin guilty of first-degree murder. And they also give him a weapons charge as well. So he is sentenced to life in prison plus 3 years for a deadly weapon with the intent to injure. Afterwards, Valeria will plead guilty to a lower offense of accessory after the fact to first-degree murder. And she gets 5 years in prison, followed by 3 years of probation. Jackie's family will say, this didn't bring her back, but we are elated and we feel that definitely justice was served. And that's the story of how Jackie Smith was murdered by her own husband with her stepdaughter as an accomplice, which it feels like her stepdaughter, fortunately her stepdaughter's testimony will end up getting her husband.
Yeah.
But it's so chilling to see this picture of these two people where you're like, they look happy. They look normal. Like, it's a very alarming feeling.
I got a question. What is normal?
What is normal? And maybe, Carrie, stay single. Stay safe, stay single, as the kids say.
Not a bad idea. I guess, Carrie, that was the theme today. Stay single.
The theme of the today was stay single. It ain't worth it, girlfriend. Yeah. It ain't worth it. I think I was just surprised, too. It's like in these cases where people blame it on somebody like that, it's just so frustrating. To be fair, I'm like, it's so unfair. I'm like, they murdered someone. I don't think these people have a fucking conscience. Like, okay. I don't think, I'm not like, oh wow, what a surprising turn of events. They murdered their wife and then they blamed
and
a
then
stranger.
They didn't tip. You're like, huh.
Yeah. Ooh, creepy.
Very creepy. Yeah, that's really upsetting.
I have to go to work. I have to go to work.
It's like crazy. The schedule's crazy.
All right. Well, maybe I'll see you tonight. Maybe not. We'll see how I'm feeling.
Ooh, keeping me on the edge of my seat.
On the edge of your seat.
And on my tippy toes.
Well, I got an Italian sub waiting for me at the office. So.
Go there. Eat it up. Save me half. Later, Gator.
Bye.
Bye.